Hi everyone, welcome back to the Commercial Real Estate Library. This is episode 35, and today our special guest is Howard Scher. He is the Executive Vice President at Quality Homes. Quality Homes are best known for their factory-built housing. They build and design housing in a factory just north of Toronto, all types of housing, from cottages to two-story houses, even going as far as to design apartment buildings or, you know, multi-residential townhouses. You can apply this concept anywhere. And essentially, they design it in this factory, ship it down a highway, and fasten it onto your land. And this has a variety of advantages. We thought the concept was really cool, especially because your financing is a lot easier if the time to construct and the construction delays are substantially less. So a very interesting concept that can be applied in a number of ways. You guys are gonna love this episode. Before we dive in, I wanna say a thank you to our sponsor, Green Fox Capital. Visit Green Fox Capital at greenfoxcapital.com. Thanks for listening. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Commercial Real Estate Library. I'm Dama Tamanawala, you know, Garrett McGilvery, my co-host. And today our special guest is Howard Scher. He's the Executive Vice President at Quality Homes. Thanks for joining us, Howard.
Thanks for having me.
So Howard, just to kick us off, could you just give a bit of a background of sort of what Quality Homes does?
Sure. So Quality Homes is a modular home builder, meaning we build mostly custom homes and cottages, some light commercial off-site in a huge plant in the Mount Forest area of Ontario. And we take control of all of our construction sites right through from excavation to keys for our clients. Founded in 1987 and today probably Ontario's largest modular home builder in the custom home category.
And what is a modular home? Like, take us through a bit of that process of like,
you get
a
I want you to think of a home basically being divided into sections that are pre-built in our plant, that are as finished as possible. When they come out of that plant, they get trucked to site and assembled onto a traditional foundation. So our biggest misnomer is it's something like a mobile home. Not at all. It's something very cheap and cheerful. No, not at all. We're taking custom homes and we're basically designing and building them in a way that they can be built offsite, take advantages of all the controls that offsite building brings, and then turned into a beautiful custom home or cottage at the end of the day that is not discernible from something that was built on site.
Gotcha. And like, can you give me an example of like how many pieces effectively?
It's a good question. So, you know, a bit of self-promotion here, www.qualityhomes.ca has factory tours, it has all of these things. So typically we are limited by the sizes we can run down the roads at 16 feet wide and 60 feet long. So that is our maximum building envelope. And then, you know, so our average home that we're building today is probably 2,000 square feet. And it might be three or four modules put together.
Okay. And does this include any interior finishing or is it like to the drywall type of thing?
No, it's got kitchens in it. We even put the light bulbs in the light fixtures. Like it's really important for our efficiency for us to do as much as we can in the plant. So each workstation in the plant, so it's actually an assembly line and it moves. Station in the plant adds an enormous amount of value. So once the structural and the drywall's up, then we actually start with installing flooring and trim and kitchens and plumbing fixtures and faucetry. Like it's really done when it comes out of there, other than the bits and pieces that need to be finished on site.
Howard, how many of these homes would you be building at any one time? Like how big is this factory?
Yeah, so our plant is about 120,000 feet. It has 18 work bays. So, you know, initially we're starting from framing, which is pretty automated, and I'll get more into that in a minute. In the first bay and in the 18th bay, we're actually installing kitchens and final finishes. So through that process, Each workstation adds quite a bit of value. Last year, we built 115 single-family homes. We built some multifamily on top of that. So, you know, every week there's a number of modules coming out, going on to and coming off the line.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool. And prior to this, I was watching a ton of the content that you guys put out, and it's showing assembling one house in a single day, right? Which is just unfathomable, or at least it was prior to you guys.
Yeah. So speed is a natural, project compression is a natural derivative of what we do. Typically, we would love to be able to install a single family home in one day. That way, elements and the weather and workload is contained. There's several weeks of finishing after that in terms of putting the brick on and all of those things as well. But we guarantee our completion dates, and I don't know any other single family residential home builder that actually guarantees the completion date. We pay $250 a day for every day we're late. We hardly ever pay out, and I don't know any other company, at least in Ontario, maybe all of Canada, even North America, that has such a guarantee.
Wow. And so can you talk about, like, how does your timing differ from traditional building? How does your pricing differ from traditional building? Like, why would somebody go with Quality Homes rather than the traditional route of just finding a parcel of land and building it from scratch?
Great question. So to talk about timing first, so we have a system in place where we use mostly employees. We have a lot of cross-trained employees. So when that house starts on the line, it's basically got consistent labor, materials, environment to go right to the end. So we're actually finishing a house in about 12 working days in the plant because everything's on site. Everything.
What?
In terms of the plant, in terms of the people, in terms of the materials. So imagine on a site now, especially on a rural site, you've got to get your lumber out there. It's got to be cut. It's got to be nailed. It's got to be framed. That goes up, then the next stage, you've got to get your windows in, and then you get some sheathing on, so everything becomes simultaneous. And if there's one delay, the ripple effect is incredible. And you have sub trades coming in. So, your drywaller can't come until the electrician and the plumber are finished. Well, if either of those guys are delayed, you've lost your drywaller, and he can only come back in 4 weeks. So, a month, goodbye, gone. Whereas for us, it happens in days. And as I said, our employees are cross-trained. If Jimmy doesn't show up for work, Susie can do it for him, no problem. So, that really helps our timelines be compressed. That has natural reflection on the cost. So everybody's can do it cheaper, right? So, this builder comes to you, says, $150 a square foot, da 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 da. And he gets you involved, and then the changes start because he can't get the labor, or one of those guys didn't show up, and the costs start skyrocketing because of the delays, mostly in time. So to compare costs to a site-built operation, we would probably be marginally less at the end of the project in a fraction of the time. And if you take the benefits of the time into account, then we are significantly less. Moving costs, closing costs, delays, bank draws, financing, money out there for extra time, just all of the things that people don't really think of that costs incur make us significantly less expensive than traditional.
What is it? I don't really know this. We are a commercial podcast, so I'd like to get in what you touched on, that building of multi-residential as well.
Sure.
But sorry, so how long does it typically take for building the traditional way? Assuming that maybe there's some delays and whatever, just the typical project for a single family home.
Yeah, so to make a level playing field, let's say from the day you get a building permit, because the amount of time that goes into getting a building permit can be quite variable.
Right.
We happen to offer all the drafting and engineering in-house that other builders usually sub out, but, that's neither here nor there. So from the time we get a building permit, we're typically on a fairly elaborate, again, 2,000 square foot home. We're about 16 weeks from the day we get the permit to the day we hand over keys. In a custom build, I think that 1 year is fair. And if it's elaborate, it starts going the other side of that. And, you know, builders challenge me on this all the time, but I say, but you know, when did you really start and when did you really finish? And at the end of the day, 12 months seems to be a very smooth build. And then we hear about the disasters that go on for many months after that.
And
time savings. It's pretty good.
And yeah. Guaranteed, right? So, you know, you're closing on your house because you need those funds to, you know, make your purchases. And now, you know, to the day when your home's going to be complete, like that's worth a lot, right?
Yeah, one thing, like, I mean, you see all this great innovation in the residential category all the time. And a lot of the commercial guys usually say, well, oh, that'll never happen in our industry. And I mean, that's where the innovation starts, is on the residential side, and then it transfers over. So it'll be interesting to see, like, do you guys do any commercial building? You mentioned multifamily. Do you do, you know, retail or, you know, more commercial, traditional commercial office?
No, so we as a company don't, you know, we're a wood frame construction company. So anything that requires non-combustible construction or steel and concrete, we don't touch at all. There are modular guys that do that, albeit on a you know, somewhat smaller scale. But, you know, things like gas station kiosks, banks, you know, things right. with replicated footprints are getting more and more prefabricated because of it's so replicable, if that's a word. So in terms of our technology, you know, most of it is in the framing. You know, so we have these robotic saws. It's a beautiful thing to see. So the drafting department emails the cut list to the saw, and the saw tells the operator what lumber to load, and then the saw cuts it and labels it for the operator, and then that fits into jigs in our plant. So, you know, the precision is incredible. The speed is remarkable, and basically we get a quality product due to that technology. So our entire framing, roof truss systems, wall panel systems are all automated. To do that off on-site is pretty much impossible. So that's, you know, that's where the whole prefabricated off-site construction wins in terms of the technology and the speed. Et cetera, et cetera. So when we're building townhouses, for example, huge amount of replication, which is great because, you know, you get the cost efficiencies in the plant. Everything's pre-cut, pre-sized, pre-ordered, and basically we can run those modules through the factory really fast. And if you look at the size of townhouses now, with everybody downsizing and being more streamlined and being more attainable, they're very modular just by virtue of what they are. So whether you're hand framing them on site or, you know, we are doing it in a modular system, we've got some great designs where each unit is one module, maybe two modules, and they are assembled as such, and we can keep it really efficient there as well. So it's not only technology, it's also systems improvement that allow us to be efficient in replicating what needs to be built on site.
Right.
It's almost like the housing is becoming more like an IKEA catalog when you get your table, or you get a bookcase and prints out all the pieces.
Now, IKEA are in the business big time in Europe and now in Great Britain. They are developers and they build small units.
Oh, are they?
Yep, and it's intriguing how they're doing it in terms of following their philosophies. And obviously they want to sell more furniture to these people. So, you know, they make it as a package deal with IKEA furniture in it, but they are substantial developers, in Scandinavia and the UK. Substantial.
Look at that. This is why you need to get the international guys. This is why we need some more people with accents on our program.
Well, my accent's a little further south than Scandinavia, but yeah.
One thing really, I'm just fascinated with the idea. Is there any drawback to doing a modular home? Like, is the resale value any different than a traditional home of a similar caliber? Is it harder to do automation or put a new floor in 10 years down the line? Like, are there any drawbacks at all?
So to answer your first question first, there should be no
Hey, real quick, I wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, Green Fox Capital. They are a boutique mortgage financing firm that really differentiates themselves by giving the best referral fees on the market. If you're a broker and have a client looking to get a deal financed, these guys at Green Fox Capital will not only get it done, they'll be giving you 50% of the fee as a referral. That means if you're a broker, you could be earning upwards of an additional $100,000 a year on deals that you're already doing anyways. And guess what? They protect your clients. Check them out at greenfoxcapital.com. Drop them a line about any deal you might be working on and see what they can do.
Difference in the appraised value of a home. In fact, we have to overbuild our homes because they're going to be transported, lifted with a crane, et cetera, et cetera. So we end up with beautiful structure because of the way it's built. So that's actually an advantage. So I don't think we get appraised for more, but we certainly wouldn't be handicapped for being modular in terms of the appraisal. So the drawback comes around those travel sizes that I mentioned earlier. And they are not things that we can't do, but things that we become way less cost efficient to do. So let me give you an example. If you want a room that has 14-foot ceilings, we have to take your regular module, maybe with a 9 or 10 foot ceiling, and then we put another mini module on top of that. That's an extra truck, it's extra crane time. So that becomes cost prohibitive because there are so many logistics that need to happen in order to execute that. Big lavish open plan rooms that are larger than say 30 by 30. I don't know how many people need an area that large. But, you know, that's difficult to do because of our modular system. We need some support and some bearing in various places. But our biggest challenge is perception. You know, I spoke earlier about mobile homes and you know, cheap kits and things like that. That's the biggest issue that we face. As soon as people come to our plant, see our model homes, do tours, that goes away for good reason. But our shortcomings are more economic in getting it done than absolutely not being able to do it.
Right. So I'm always thinking about it from the multifamily angle. You mentioned that you had built multi-unit homes. Like, can you talk a little bit about that project or projects and how that worked?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we have a couple of our own on the go at the moment. So, you know, we have townhouses in a little town called Harrison, and we stick to rural opportunities for a number of reasons. So this is 23 unit townhouse project in a town called Harrison, which is about 45 minutes north of Waterloo, you know, great example. And essentially, these are townhouses. Nobody knows that they're modular unless they ask specifically, or unless they know that we're the company building them. And it's a very smooth project, and it's beautiful because if we sell four units, we build four units, we deliver four units, we finish four units. We don't have to build out the whole project to get the efficiencies that that site builders do. And that's an area of slightly lower absorption. So, you know, it certainly helps in terms of keeping up with the demand in terms of building at the right rate. We have built 6 plexes, 12 plexes, 18 plexes. You know, it's just a matter of stacking modules. Wood frame construction now can go 6 stories high. We don't love 6 stories. There's an inordinate amount of engineering and, you know, and hybrid systems given life safety, fire safety, elevator shafts, those kinds of things. So, you know, 4 stories is our comfortable max. And we stack the modules and make it beautiful.
So you guys have built a 4-story multifamily?
4-story, 3-story, lots of 2-story, and then, you know, in rural areas and for the aging population, bungalow townhouses are all the rage. I mean, if you have the space and the real estate to do it, for downsizing an aging population, man, it's exceedingly popular.
Right.
Just to finish, those units in Harrison, we have half bungalows, half lofts. And the bungalows are 1,000 square feet, and people are delighted. And if they want some extra space, they finish the basement. 2,000 square feet. So it's great.
I'm thinking about, like, from a multifamily perspective, if you just tying up the site and how quickly you could get from that stage of, you know, construction financing. I do that in quotes because it's such a different process for constructing. And then 16 weeks later, you have
maybe it's different if you have multifamily, but 16 weeks later, you just have this 18-plex sitting on the dirt and refinance and you're good to go. Like,
therein lies the price advantage. So, you know, when people say, are you cheaper? When you look at the systemic costs, yes, we're substantially cheaper. We may not be cheaper per square foot of hard construction costs, but you know, a lot of even sophisticated developers don't take that into account when they manage their projects. So the, you know, to go back to the Harrison one, we delivered a block in January of 2019, and we had move-ins May to 4 weekend of 2019. So there you go. 8 units.
Yeah, that definitely will cut down significantly on financing and carrying costs.
Yep.
Yeah, that's interesting. Imagine just having a piece of land, get the building permit, and then 4 weeks, 4 months later, it just plops on there.
Right.
So it's the, imagine the piece of land and the building permit timeline that is monstrous. I mean, you know, and it doesn't matter how you're going to build it, you have to go through the approval process, and I'm sure that's another 22 podcasts on that alone.
Yeah.
On that point, our construction permitting is a little different to traditional in that we are permitted in our plant by the CSA to build to the Ontario Building Code. So we cut down a huge amount of time and cost on inspections and getting stages permitted. It's all done in the plant other than what's built on site.
Yeah, because you could effectively get a plan vetted and then it's already been vetted and you could replicate that effectively and the time to go over those different the same plan basically again if you're doing the same 18-plex in different locations or something like that.
Right. So you just need your site plan approval and foundations inspected and off you go. Yep.
You talked about obviously the circular saw printing out instructions and cutting wood. Is there any other innovative technology that you guys use that traditional home builders might not?
You know, it might be small things in terms of the amount of prep work we can do. You know, again, being on off-site and in the same place, we can get way ahead on assembly. So, you know, we may pre-produce shower valve assemblies. We may pre-produce, headers and beams for our load-bearing issues. So, you know, again, our project management system knows what we have coming down the pipeline. You know, why not pre-build all of those things to get ahead in terms of managing your timelines? As far as, you know, tech is concerned, you know, it's mostly in the drawing, drafting, communication with the cutting, communication with the floor, in terms of, you know, having ability to have technology at every station. You know, very difficult to do on site to give all of your subs the tech. So, you know, controlling it, having it in-house, making it accessible to the entire workforce just has huge, huge time and quality advantages.
Gotcha. In terms of like speaking more global, you talked about IKEA. What are some of the other major things that are happening in sort of this type of marketplace in terms of prefabricated homes?
So there's Katerra, who are Silicon Valley backed, enormous consortium of tech driven construction systems. Well worth researching in terms of just bringing high tech savvy project management, systems management to the construction industry.
This is Katerra?
Katerra, K A T.
Okay, not Katerra like Toronto based. Condo developer. Okay, great.
No. Katerra, San Francisco, and I believe one of their biggest operations is in Phoenix. But they, you know, they're licensing all over the world, and you know, so that's a huge, incredibly well backed and financed tech driven company. There is a company called Blue Homes, BLU Homes, out of California. Very, very design oriented. Prefabricated home systems, where the design comes first, no matter what, you know, incredibly successful. And then, you know, there's a number of modular manufacturers transforming into specialty needs, whether it be hospitality industry. You know, Marriott are planning to build all of their hotels modular for the next foreseeable future. There are some retail operations that have turned to modular, and you know they use that replication as well. And then in the single family residential, you know, Quality Homes is quite unique in that we are completely vertically integrated, where we will, you know, work with our customer from the time they get a permit to the time they move in. And that sort of vertical integration seems to be more and more in the offering as well, in terms of cutting out as many middlemen, as many replications and opportunities for loss of time or loss of profits during the project.
Interesting. You, Howard, you mentioned that a lot of your projects are rural, but I think a lot of our audiences are in the major cities, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton. Is there any issue with building in these major cities or any challenges that make it more difficult?
So two answers to that question. The first is that building rural has many challenges in terms of the pure logistics of getting to site and back again, whether it be materials, people. So we're just that much more efficient in the rural environment. The only restriction to building in urban, and the only one, is access. So, you know, small roads, high traffic areas, big trees, big hydro lines, again, present challenges in terms of cost. So, you know, to shut down power on a major artery for the value of one house often is too exorbitantly expensive for it to make sense to the project. We've built in the beaches of Toronto. We've built in most suburbs. Yeah. You know, Etobicoke, very popular as well. You know, any teardown area obviously is a target for us. But, you know, we've just found that the cost of the logistics of penetrating an urban center, especially a large one like Toronto, often, you know, tips the project in favor of being locally built.
Gotcha. How big of an area do you guys service? Like, how far would you guys go for people that are looking to purchase your product?
So typically, I like to have a sunset clause. So, you know, if we can't get there by, you know, and get the home installed by sunset, it's going to get a little bit out of our reach. So
that usually
translates to like 300 kilometers. So Sudbury in the north, down going east through Haliburton, Lindsay, Peterborough, down to maybe as far east as Kingston. And then everything's, you know, west of that. So, you know, down through London, down to Windsor, through St. Catharines, Niagara Falls, Hamilton, into Toronto. So it's a big area. It's a huge area. Marketing challenge 101.
Yeah. Gary, you might have to tear down your apartment building and throw in a modular home there.
Windsor, you know, needs new housing.
Yeah, so 50% of our single family builds now involve a teardown, whereas probably 6 or 7 years ago, it was maybe half of that. And 10 years ago, it was hardly at all. Right. So, you know, that's definitely a trend that's emerging given the lack of building lots, you know, huge conservation requirements as well. So teardowns have become a lot more prevalent.
How do you see this, your guys' market evolving in, say, the next 5 to 10 years? Is there any new technology that may be coming down that's going to help make it more efficient?
So, yes, I think that the tech, again, is in process and project management. I'm sure there'll be things in the factory that will make us more efficient, you know, and it's just capital outlay. You know, if I get something that can flip a wall and I can drywall it both sides without, you know, having to touch it with the human hand, you know, that can help a lot, but it's mostly in project and process management that makes the difference. That makes us that much more competitive against site building. I think our awareness is rising rapidly, not just Quality Homes, but the industry. Dwell Magazine does an outstanding job of promoting beautiful prefab a lot. So people are becoming more and more aware of it. And I think that given what's going on at present, the need for peace of mind, the need for control, the need to have budgets understood, committed to, and stuck to, timelines, the same thing, I think will sway a lot of people in our favor just in terms of having the peace of mind to have a well-built, on-time, on-budget project.
Gotcha. That's interesting stuff. And I actually did not know that much about prefab before I do this, and it's very interesting technology, especially in terms of timing. That timing thing is key, and I don't think a lot of people understand that.
Absolutely not. But if you guys ever want to come and see the plant and, you know, maybe do something live from the plant, it's open. There's no trade secrets. It's 32 years of making mistakes. This is how we do. You know, that's our trade. We'd love to have you, and, you know, can give your viewers a chance to see something completely different, and something we think is incredibly efficient, viable, and practical for those that want to build a residential home, or developers that want to build a complex.
I think we'll take you up on that. I'm still just like, and I'd like to think about it more, but I want to see bear out the business case for the multifamily, getting some land, getting the permits, and then just 4 months later, occupied at market rents and refinance, do it again. I just want to see that happen. But anyways, we can continue that discussion later. Yeah. Okay, we're coming up on the 45-minute mark, so I just want to, Garrett, before we, do you have any questions before the final question?
No, I'm good.
Okay, final question, Howard. So this is, we've been so on modular homes, but this is more, I don't know, what's the word? Existential. So imagine years from now, you live a very long and successful life. You live into your old age, and for whatever reason, you know, it's your last day, and your family and your friends and all of the people who love you and you care about are all around you. But for some reason, everything that you've ever put out, every piece of content, book you've written, it's all been erased. So you have three short notes that you can write on a piece of paper for your friends and family and the people who love you. What do you put on those notes?
Whoa. I put dare to dream.
Okay.
I put never give up. And I put light will always transform over darkness and or win over darkness. And I think today of all days, that's a very important thing.
Very, very timely advice. Yeah. Howard, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Qualityhomes.ca. Yeah, thanks, Howard.
Thank you, guys. Howard. Okay.
Take care.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. This is the end of the podcast. If you enjoyed the content, please remember to rate, comment, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now. And that really helps us to grow and book even bigger and badder podcast guests. So please do that and share it with your colleagues, your friends, all that good stuff. One other thing, we are always dying to know what you guys want to talk about, what you guys want to hear, and who you want us to book, what markets we should be honing in on. So leave us a comment or shoot us an email. You can reach me at dama.tamanawala@crelibrary.ca or on LinkedIn or wherever you're finding this podcast. There's probably a link to the email. Send us who you want to hear from. We'll track them down. We'll ask them the tough questions. And have a great day. Thanks so much for listening.